Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. The Steelers actually put up some points. They threw the ball into the middle of the field.
Second and seven. Austin cuts ahead. Austin to the 20. Foot race to the 10. He's across for the touchdown.
Tutty, middle of the field. Tutty, a great throw by Justin Fields. And Justin Fields also ran for a touchdown, did throw the interception that bounced around like 800 times before it wound up in, of all people, Bud Dupree's arms. But the third consecutive game for Justin Fields with a quarterback rating over 90. Justin Fields has a completion percentage of 73.3 through three games. His career passer rating around 60, so he's more accurate than he's ever been. 11th best quarterback rating in the league. You can't sit him, man. That's QB1. That's your guy. And you probably can't sit him after one bad performance either, if and when that happens. Like, I think you got to ride with him and until you stop having to ride with him, if that makes sense.
Isn't it amazing like what coaching can do for a young quarterback?
Man.
Like, I mean, there's multiple examples, not just Justin Fields. I mean, I saw a lot of people, a lot of analysts tweeting about, Baker Mayfield. You could throw him in that category. I mean, look at Sam Darnold. Throw him in that category. Whenever you have the right coaching and what that could bring out for you and being in bad situations, and that just crushes usually a lot of players. But to have the confidence in yourself whenever you do get that fresh opportunity to take advantage of it and wanting to learn. And, you know, Justin Fields just had so much just characteristics that you just love in a quarterback. You just wish that, and a lot of people in Chicago wish that he could be coached the right way. And now I saw a lot of Chicago Bears like, we gave up Justin Fields for Caleb Williams. Look what Justin Fields is doing. So they're losing their minds over there. But there's a lot of examples going around the league. I mean, look at Malik Willis.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of examples.
My guy.
Now, I know that this is kind of, we're kind of branching out a little bit, but this all does come back to Justin Fields, is that whenever you are put in different situations and you have quality coaching and you have a method and they know what they're doing that can help you, and then you can blossom. It is it's beautiful to watch, to see some of these guys flourish that didn't flourish before because of the situations that they're in. And Justin Fields has taken full advantage of that. And he looks like a quarterback. He doesn't look like an athlete. He doesn't look like a guy back there that does have unbelievable characteristics, but he isn't a quarterback. He can't put it all together. He can't get in sync. Now he looks like, he's getting better. You have a good feeling right now about Justin Fields, right? Don't we all? I feel like we all, everybody listening and everybody that watches Steelers, we have a good feeling about Justin Fields. I can tell that he is just getting started.
Yep.
Like, he's going to get even better. Like, every game he has gotten better, in my opinion. I think that this trend will happen all the way until December, and then he's going to hit a stride. Like, for real. Like, and then he's going to be unstoppable. And I think Dan Orlovsky said that, right?
He did.
You know, I'd pick Fields against anybody. There's going to be a time where I think that if they continue this process, that you could probably say that. And that's crazy.
And I think about it this way, Doran. Jordan Love, beginning of last season, was okay. And then all of a sudden, he started taking off. Jordan Love is older than Justin Fields. Justin Fields is 25 years old. Jordan Love about to turn 26 next month. And people have allowed for Jordan Love to get better. Oh, Jordan, well, he hasn't played a lot. Okay, Justin Fields has played, but he's young. You're allowed to get better with good coaching. Mike Tomlin's never been confused as a quarterback whisperer. Arthur Smith has done a great job with this guy. He's done a great job. There were a couple of things that we all knew about Justin Fields coming in terms of he will make the spectacular play, okay? But he also turns the ball over a lot. Doesn't either like to throw it in the middle of the field, or he's not super accurate throwing the ball in the middle of the field. Well, he's not turning it over. He did throw a pick in this game. Okay, whatever. One interception in three games. So he's not turning it over. We saw a little bit more of the spectacular. Couple of spectacular plays taken away due to penalty. I think you're going to start seeing more of the spectacular. But to coach and help him not make the mistakes, and now he's doing the things that he never did, couldn't do in Chicago, Arthur Smith deserves a ton of credit, but the player deserves a ton of credit for buying in and getting better. I'm the guy who turns it over. I'm the guy who's quote-unquote inaccurate. Now he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league through 3 weeks. In this game, through 15 passes between the hash marks, he's throwing BBs out there. they seem to have, and he seems to have accepted the coaching to get the habits that were bad out of there, and we're still seeing a lot of the good. And he's young. And you're right, he should only continue to get better. And the reason people can buy into that is because week one, okay, week two, better, week three, yeah. Every week you've seen more and more out of Justin Fields. And the other thing, I'm just waiting for those legs to explode.
Oh, yeah.
6 rushing yards in this game.
Yeah.
6.
And he did this with just not using his number one superpower.
Right? I do hate when a guy has an opportunity thwarted because he got hurt, because his body let him down. Maybe in this case, definitely in this case, the coaching staff let him down, pushing a damn blocking sled. I feel sick. I really do for Russell Wilson. But I don't know how you can even think about going to Russ right now at all.
No.
And hey, maybe Russ would be better. Maybe. I don't know. But you can't do it to the other guy. One guy's played quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers and played really well. The other guy hasn't, and you're not tied to him financially. So you got to keep riding with Russ, with Justin.
You can't do it to the other players, too, on offense. You can't do it to George. You can't do it to Calvin. You can't do it to Pat. You can't do it to Najee. Like, I mean, they have built a rapport that you don't want to mess up. Like, I get it. Like, I mean, I've been a guy that I'm like, let me see Russ. I want to know what it looks like. But at this point, whenever you're winning football games and you did it the way that you did yesterday at the quarterback position, it's not even honestly a conversation, I don't think. You know, it is for us because this is our job and we love to do it. We love to speculate. But if I'm the Steelers in that building, I don't even think it's a conversation at this point of going back to Russ whenever he's healthy. I mean, you're winning football games. How can you uproot something that is working?
Third straight game, they win the time of possession battle. And I thought Justin Fields was the reason they won the game, offensively. I mean, when you give up -5 yards in the second half defensively, that's the reason. But the running game wasn't really there in the first half, and I think the running game got going because they threw the ball so effectively into the middle of the field. Like, Justin Fields was a big reason why the Steelers won that game. The weird thing, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, Tomlin didn't go over the top in his praise of Fields in the postgame press conference.
He's doing an awesome job doing what we're asking him to do, playing and playing to win, and so that's appreciated.
Just quick 8 seconds. Just a quick 8 seconds on his young quarterback. I'm not sure that we need to read into it. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to play this week anyhow because the injury is pretty bad and they're taking it easy. We just saw what the Chargers did with Justin Herbert. That was dumb. What the hell are they doing there?
Right.
That guy couldn't move. He could not move. And they had him out there against the Steelers defense. So they're not going to do that to Russ if all things are equal anyhow. So this would be Justin Fields' show. If Russell Wilson was the healthiest he's ever been in his life, you can't take that opportunity away from Justin Fields. He's 3-0. He's done nothing wrong, and he's done a lot of good things. Kenny Pickett never had 2 consecutive games with a quarterback rating over 90. And there's more important stats. Believe me, I get that. Justin Fields has now done it 3 times. Every game he's played as a Pittsburgh Steeler, his quarterback rating's been over 90. And in this game, he made big-time throws, including the Pat Freiermuth throw that got dropped. But that's a hell of a pass.
Yes.
He throws lasers out there, man. Mm-hmm. And I thought the touch at times was appropriate. I could not be more impressed by Justin Fields. And I do think in that clip from Mike Tomlin, we also have to realize they're not asking him to do a ton, but they have been feeding him more every week. And he's been achieving more every week.
Yes.
That's the first hurdle to clear, right? Hey, what are the coaches asking me to do? Stay within myself. And he's done it. So I don't know how you go to the other guy.
I don't think you can, man.
No.
I think that there'd be a detriment to your team. And I think Russ realizes that. Don't know how he's going to react to that. But, you know, when Russ is healthy, if they're still winning, like, I think that just, it's like, you know, it's elementary.
I'd ask out if I were him, honestly. If I heard Miami was calling, because now Skylar Thompson's hurt. Did you see that?
I did.
So they're down to QB3. If Miami asks, I think I'd be willing to have the conversation at this point.
And I think that, you know, honestly, you could really, you know, pick your poison. You would have the upper hand if you're the Steelers, because a team like that is desperate. So it's like, this is what we want. Either give it to us and you have Russ, or we're not going to have a deal and we'll just keep Russ.
Yeah.
The Steelers are in a good spot if that is on the table.
If Justin Fields is the starter, I think you've probably got the best. In fact, I think you do have the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And so if you don't trade that quarterback, you're not in a bad spot.
No.
So you're right. You ask for a mountain of a return. You ask for the absolute. You ask for a king's ransom. Give me a first-round pick. And if you don't give it to me, okay, fine. At some point, Justin Fields is probably going to get dinged up and not play in a game. That's been the story of his career. Not that he misses a lot of time, but he's going to miss a game here or there. And so we're just going to plug in Russell Wilson. Okay, we'll live with that unless you give us a first-round pick. Yeah, I've come all the way around on that one, Doran. Don't you love it?
Love it.
It is 7:14. It's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. You've heard what we've said now on Justin Fields. We want to hear from you. Best caller on this subject wins a 4-pack of tickets to Gold Over America at PPG Paints Arena on October 2nd. That's Gold Over America. 4-pack of tickets. And we just need to answer some questions here. And we'll get into some of these things. Justin Fields, quarterback one, yes. What would have to happen to pull him? And any issue with a quarterback losing his job due to injury? 412-928-9370.
Second and 7.
I think this whole quarterback thing is pretty simple. Has Justin Fields been good?
Yeah.
I think he's been good.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers have a good quarterback. And last year, they went 3-0 at the end of the season when they got good quarterback play. They're 3-0 this season when they've gotten above-the-line quarterback play. This is a roster that's good enough to win when your quarterback plays well. And when you have a coordinator that is capable of helping your quarterback play well. I don't think we need to overthink this. I think you've got a coordinator and a quarterback that are figuring it out. It's not a finished product. They're going to have to put up more points at some point, yes. But they absolutely could have had 27 yesterday. And we were talking about it off air. Half a yard away from that overhitting.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's a half yard away from the over there. Yeah, finish that one, Naj. I thought it was gentlemanlike, Doran, to not score a touchdown there at the end. But I would have liked to see them go over and score 27 points.
Aesthetically pleasing.
It is.
It would have looked nicer.
Because last week, they had a touchdown wiped away due to the penalty. If you scored 7 more points, I think the conversation would have been different. I think after week 1, when they took a big play off the board because of a penalty, I think we'd be having a different conversation. So I would have liked to see 27 points. The Steelers offensively would look better in terms of where they fall in the league rankings if they got another 7 points. But if they wanted it, they could have had it. Angela in Beachview, first up today. Angela, you got to be riding high today. Your Steelers are 3-0.
Yeah, buddy, but you know what? My brain's a little mush today, but that's all right. I'll survive. I'm a veteran. But we whooped them in the trenches. That's number one. Number two, it's unfortunate, but Broderick Jones doesn't have to worry about being shuffled around anymore,
yep,
unfortunately, since Fontana got hurt. So mentally, hopefully, that'll stabilize him a bit. There was a couple Patrick Queen sightings. It's great. The only regret I have is that we didn't go for that touchdown at the end, because any chance to stick it you-know-where to a Harbaugh, I'd jump on.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call, Angela. 412-928-9370. The Steelers did dominate in the trenches, especially in the latter half of the game. And we got already a bunch of texts. Well, the Chargers didn't have so-and-so, and the Chargers didn't have this guy. They knocked Herbert's ass out. They knocked Bosa's ass out. The Steelers, not only are they good, they are... You don't want to play them, I don't think.
No.
And it doesn't mean, like, we do this every... Are the Steelers a dangerous team in the playoffs? Which is the team that nobody wants to play? I don't think teams look forward to it now. They've said for years what they want to be, and now they're doing it in practice. Like, they're gonna run the football with Najee Harris and at times now Cordarrelle Patterson. That's not easy. And every single play, you got Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Nick Herbig, and all that. They're a tough team to play against.
Physical. That's just, you grind it out. That's not the way that you want to play football anymore. If you're other teams, like it is tough. It is tough, and you know the battle you're heading into, you know, before it even starts. So you have to prepare your mind for that, and then whenever it starts happening, it's like, okay, like how do we break away from this? And it's almost impossible at this point.
Yeah, I think we know what the Steelers' floor is. Like, they're going to be a team that's going to beat you up on offense, and they're going to beat you up on defense. Now, got to score points if you want to be a great team in this league, and they're warming up to that. Could have, as we've said, had 27 yesterday. But I think we know what they are at their worst, kind of. Like, when they're not playing their best, they're still going to defend every blade of grass, and they're still going to get 100 yards rushing because they're not going to stop running it until they do get over that mark. So you know what they are. Now, where is their ceiling, I think? That'll be the question. And I think Justin Fields and his progress is going to – that's really what's going to answer the question, right, is how far Justin Fields can take this development in season. 412-928-9370. It's funny. Last week, you throw it out. Who should be the Steelers' quarterback? Get a bunch of calls. Week before that, bunch of calls. No calls.
No.
Because the answer is clear. Right now, it's Justin Fields. But you can call to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Gold Over America at PPG Paints Arena on October 2nd. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Doran, I think we got to talk about the Steelers' number two wide receiver spot. And so we will do just that coming up next. Actually saw some production from guys not named George Pickens.
Patterson is dual purpose as well, and so he played some wide out and running back today, and that gives us flexibility. It's the same thing that Leal gives us. Leal's capable of playing outside linebacker and D-line. We value position flexibility. It allows us to make decisions to strengthen other areas. We went with four wide outs. We carried an extra D-lineman today because we knew we were in for a run game fight. I'm appreciative of their efforts, but I'm not surprised by it. Guys like Scotty Miller are always ready to answer the call. They might not have the big names or resumes, but they've made plays consistently throughout team development, and the guys in the locker room depend on them and expect them to deliver.
Mike Tomlin on the wide receiver two position. Doran, find yourself a dual-purpose Patterson. Five easy payments, $19.99. Get yourself a dual-purpose Patterson, who's quite the weapon for the Steelers. You've been all over that one. How are you feeling about Steelers wide receiver two right now?
Well, it's two by committee. I think that was the approach heading into the season. Now, obviously, they were in on the Ayuk sweepstakes and wanted to get him to kind of shore up that position. But I think that their whole mindset heading into the season was two by committee. There isn't an actual number two. They told us that basically, and we knew that as well. It's like, all right, Pat Freiermuth's the number two target share at the receiver spot or the skill position spot. So now you have, okay, if you want to exclude Pat Freiermuth, he's probably your number two. If you want to talk about number two option, I mean, you could say it's Calvin Austin. You could say it's Scotty Miller. You could say it's Cordell Patterson, but it's everybody. You know, I think it's everybody who kind of makes up that production of a legit number two receiver. And if guys can keep stepping up the way that they did yesterday, if Calvin Austin can do the things he does, and, you know, he's an explosive receiver, as we saw in the long touchdown, if Scotty Miller can be that grind it out, hey, I'm going to get you the tough yards, and in certain situations, you can count on me guy, and Cordell Patterson being, you know, the do-it-all type guy, I guess it could work moving forward as long as they keep getting better and growing with Justin Fields.
That's what I was going to say. If you've got a quarterback that can make you better, this can all work. And I thought for the first time, they did open it up a little bit more. I mean, 32 pass attempts for Justin Fields, and he got guys the ball on time, in space. Scotty Miller broke a tackle. Calvin Austin did a lot of the legwork on the one. I think he's been good at punt return, too, Calvin Austin.
Yes.
Scotty Miller's been good on special teams. These are good football players. I think it's just going to be week to week. Van Jefferson got poked in the eye, and he said he couldn't see until the fourth quarter. Did that ever happen to you? Poked in the eye?
Yeah, I've gotten poked in the eye, but I mean, I could see.
You could see.
Yeah, I had the other eye. I could just kind of, you know, like
you go out there one
like
eye
a patch, like arr.
Pirate Doran.
Pirate.
Pirate Van Jefferson poked in the eye. Arr. Yeah, he said he couldn't see until the fourth quarter. He said he thought he scratched his cornea or something like that. So that sounds ouchy. But the other guys, they did make plays. And look, I'm not saying that Calvin Austin is better than Brandon Ayuk. I just get on the front end of that. But through three games, Calvin Austin, 6 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk, through three games, 6 catches, 71 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Those are facts. I'm not saying I would rather the Steelers have Brandon Ayuk. I'd rather the Steelers have a name, a stud at the wide receiver two position, but they don't. And the guys that are on the roster played well. Calvin Austin, 4 for 95 and a touchdown. George Pickens, 5 for 57. Scotty Miller, 2 for 33, but both important plays. Cordero Patterson, 3 for 15. So the ball got spread around, and if used correctly, all those guys can do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Scotty Miller was good with Tom Brady. A lot of people are. But he made some plays in the Super Bowl season. You know, Calvin Austin, I'm so intrigued by him. I wonder, like, the more he plays, can we get more of this? I think the answer is yes. So I'd like him to play a little bit more than Van Jefferson. And we've seen that this coaching staff injury doesn't mean you're not going to get to play.
Right.
So, you know, Van Jefferson, maybe you missed your opportunity, man. Like, you got 2 catches for 15 yards through 2 games. 2 and change now. I would allow for them to leapfrog this guy. And we have yet to see Roman Wilson, who, like we predicted, maybe this week will be his debut. Yeah. But cleared to play, so he is healthy enough to play. He's just young, and you want to get him some reps. So I do feel better about the Steelers' wide receiver core than I did in training camp. I'd still try to get another guy.
I would definitely try. I don't know how much this is going to last. Like, can you use this formula throughout the whole entire season? And whenever it does start to matter, I don't know. But, I mean, it's promising that to see some of these guys actually step up and do their job and do their role. And it worked. And Calvin Austin's a guy that, I mean, he's explosive, he's fast. So you'd like to get him some opportunities in space so he can create those plays and hit those big plays like he did yesterday. So it's by committee for the number two spot, and you know it seemed to have worked yesterday.
I think when you've got a good quarterback, you should elevate players, and I thought we saw that yesterday, and those guys deserve credit too. I'm not going to sleep on what they did, but this was the most comfortable I think Fields has looked in this passing offense, and you look around and guys put up numbers. It's an encouraging thing to see. You gave me a film study during one of the breaks about Broderick Jones on one of the first plays in this football game. Tony Romo took Broderick Jones to task. Should he have? We'll get into that coming up next. Doran will give out some grades, and we'll look in particular at Broderick Jones and hear what Mike Tomlin had to say about him as well. This Steelers breakdown coverage on The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Cabali going to join us for a full hour in studio starting at 9. But right now, it's time for some player grades by our guy, our export.
Export.
Our import. Actually, you were just always here. You grew up here. Our expert, Doran Dickerson. Doran, Broderick Jones got raked over the coals a little bit by Tony Romo and then the general public because Tony said, Tony Romo said that Broderick Jones missed an assignment earlier in the game, but we were going over it during one of the breaks, and doesn't seem like it was actually Broderick Jones's fault.
Well, I mean, in Tony Romo's case, I mean, who's going to call him on that? I mean, he's in the flow of a game. He's calling a game, and people trust Tony Romo's kind of opinion and what he sees. And it's here or there with people like how he talks and some of the things he does, but he does know football. But I saw that play, and I was like, that isn't Broderick Jones's fault. Broderick Jones had the gap inside of Najee, and where he was protected at was supposed to be on his inside. He was not supposed to block down because Spencer Anderson was supposed to pull and secure that inside for him. So that was not Broderick Jones's fault. Spencer Anderson is taught to see color, hit color, and he absolutely missed and didn't see the guy at all, and that looked like it was Broderick Jones's fault, but it actually was Spencer Anderson's guy. That's the reason why he was supposed to pull. So if we want to give a grade to Broderick Jones, I would say like C plus B. I have to go back and watch it a little bit. Maybe yeah. I'll do a more in-depth deep dive for tomorrow about his real grade. But I think from where he was at last week, I mean, to this week, he got better. Right?
He didn't have 3 penalties and 6 plays.
Exactly.
So, hey, that is a step in the right direction. I'm watching this play that you're talking about over and over again here, Doran. A lot of people have the cut up there on Twitter.com. Yeah, Spencer Anderson just goes out for an afternoon jog.
Yep.
Like, he's pulling to the right, and then you got Tui You got number 45 for the Chargers, who just comes in unblocked, and, I mean, Spencer Anderson runs right past his face.
Right
past his face. So, hey, look, I'm not going to pretend like I know offensive line play. I do know you do, and it does look like Spencer Anderson's the guy that screwed up there. And then Spencer Anderson gets pulled, and he's toggling in and out of the lineup. So maybe they saw it the way you saw it and not necessarily the way that Tony Romo saw it. All right, so B, you say B, C, C minus, C plus, just right in that range there, which
better.
Is absolutely an improvement because you can't have anything but an F for his performance last week.
Being called upon to start and, you know, and obviously the situation and a quick turnaround, you got to get your mind right. I think that he did a decent job.
How about Atlanta Roberts?
B plus. That was the guy that I was going to give a game ball to. Big time running offense with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I thought that Atlanta Roberts did a fantastic job of being that general back there. And obviously, you picked Patrick Queen. I think he did a great job too. He finally flashed. I think he led the team in tackles with 4.
Yeah, there's not a single negative, I think, about the run defense. I mean, there's probably not a single negative about the defense. But Alandon Roberts, Patrick Queen, they needed to be good in stopping the run, and they did that. I thought Cam Hayward, too, to
win. Oh, he was fantastic.
Oh, man.
That's exactly why you paid him.
A?
Yes. A plus.
At the ripe old age of 35 and change.
A plus.
I think Larry Ogunjobi's playing well.
He's healthy.
He was always a good player when he was healthy. The problem is he has not been healthy. All right, so you did Roberts. You did Queen. We've done Cam Hayward. How about Najee Harris?
First half was there wasn't any lanes, but he's been running so hard. He looks different. I peg Najee of having a big year this year before the season, even before and after the whole the extra year, and they denied it. I give Najee a B plus. The second half he was on fire.
He was great in the second half. Had to run to finish off the game, basically. You're kind of hoping to see more from Jaylen Warren, but then he got nicked up in this game. He got to be careful.
Yeah.
He got to be real careful. This coaching staff is not afraid to say, okay, you're hurt and the next guy's playing well. You're not going to play as much. Cordarrelle Patterson played really well in this game. Is there anybody in particular that you wanted to single out?
Calvin Austin, Scotty Miller. Those guys did fantastic. Really, really good job by those guys. Darnell Washington is still getting better every game. I think he was a huge component. I don't need to give grades, but those guys really showed up. Pat Freiermuth obviously showing up as well. Other than that, I think that everybody else is pretty solid. I'm trying to think. I mean, Nick Herbig, I think, was probably the biggest star in this game. Has an A-plus grade that, 2 sacks. The guy's unblockable. He really is. And we said earlier, and Cal's put out the graphic. Listen, I think you start him the rest of the season. He just brings a different dynamic to the defense that if you're a tackle, it is hell having to prepare for that guy because he's small, he's explosive. It's hard to block guys like that.
You've said over the years that I've gotten to know you that a guy like that who's twitchy but small, like there's just not enough surface
there's
area
space.
To be able to block that
right.
guy.
They're slippery.
And you can tell he's a smart guy. Like those Wisconsin guys, man. They know.
There's 3 of them.
They know.
You know, Benton, Herbig, and what?
I'm still waiting for Benton to flash a little bit more. But again, when the run defense plays the way that it did, he didn't play bad. You can't play bad and have the run defense be that good. I did want to mention Joey Porter Jr. too. Gets off a block, has a big TFL. That was a question mark for him. Not concerned about that in the slightest. I think Dante Jackson tackles really well at the cornerback position too. I think the secondary through 3 games... A lot of concern about the slot corner. A lot of concern about the depth there. Corey Trace also banged up. Secondary's been very good.
Beanie Bishop flashed a few times, too. Getting better as a young player.
Yeah.
It's good. Like he's holding that position down.
And Zach Frazier, according to Pro Football Focus, got like a 95 grade. But I'll just be completely honest with this. When PFF grades come out right after the game, I wait until like a day or 2 after. I don't know how these guys are grading when they're watching the TV copy, and you don't know they don't know the assignments anyhow.
Right.
And then you're going to do it off the TV? Come on now. I know what we get to see on the TV, and it's not enough to make legitimate grades.
Right.
Maybe more so, I guess, on the offensive line than elsewhere, but you get what I'm saying. All right, coming up next. Asked earlier if the Steelers are good. Well, how about let's frame it this way, and I want to bring the defense into the forefront of the conversation here. Do you feel better about them now than you did before the season? I think it'd be hard not to, but we'll get into that when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Sun. What is this music, by the way, Kalis? Is that a harpsichord?
There's another NFL bed.
Never heard that one.
Never heard that before.
I think it's a harpsichord. You ever heard of a harpsichord?
No.
Okay, well, it sounds like that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 78, low 66, 55% chance of rain.